This is Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook of Calvary Baptist Church. On today's edition.
Do we want the character of the kingdom in our lives? Do we want the fullness of the Spirit to be working in and through us? If so, then we need to persevere in prayer. We need to keep asking and seeking and knocking. We need to plead with God continually over and over again to conform us more and more into the image of Christ.
When you run a marathon, you don't get the reward of the win right away. You have to persevere and endure the long, grueling run. But most people who do marathons would say that it's well worth the effort once you finish the race. In today's teaching, Pastor Dave speaks about prayer being kind of like a marathon. It's the persistency and the persevering over time that help get you through to the end. God's not a genie that you should just come to wishing for a quick fix. He wants a long-term relationship. Now, here's Pastor Dave in the book of Matthew chapter 7 as he continues his message, Ask, Seek, and Knock.
Do we ask, seek, and knock for God to grant us patience with our kids? Do we ask and seek and knock that we would have pure thoughts? Do we ask and seek and knock for God to remove our judgmental attitude? Do we really ask and seek and knock that we'd be able to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us? Do we beg God to grant us love for our enemies? Do we call on Him to give us a generous spirit? And I honestly think that we don't even grasp what would happen if we all really grabbed hold of this idea and ran with it, and we put it into practice. I don't even think we could comprehend what would happen. Because prayer becomes our top priority only when we sense our need for God's grace. When we're desperate, that's when it becomes our top priority. And if we focus ourselves on the standard that Jesus holds up here in the Sermon on the Mount, it should drive us to that desperation. We should recognize how serious we need, how much we desperately need God's grace. And it should drive us to ask and seek and knock on the doors of heaven for extra measures of God's grace. We're told in the Beatitudes that it's only the pure in heart that will see God. We're told that only those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. We see this when we understand this really clearly in our own lives, we recognize that we have absolutely no hope to ever achieve this outside of the power and grace of God. So therefore, if we understand that, when we see Jesus giving this invitation to say, ask and seek and knock, and you will receive, when we see that, we should have tremendous hope. If we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be opened. That should fill us with joy and hope. We're to ask and keep on asking for things that'll make us more like Jesus. We're to seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. Perseverance is the key to receiving this treasure that we seek. And that can often be the same for earthly treasures as well. Perseverance can reward us in many ways, certainly. Back in 1922, there was a British archaeologist, and he had searched against all odds. He was devoted to trying to find an undisturbed tomb of an Egyptian pharaoh. He was determined to find it. He was persistent in looking. For over 2,000 years, everyone from tourists to tomb robbers had picked all of the known sites clean of all of the treasure and the different artifacts that were there at one time. And it was widely believed that there was just nothing left to find, that it was all been picked through already. There's nothing else there. But this man, Howard Carter, he had very meager evidence, but he was convinced that there was more to be found. He was determined, and he searched for 6 years. And during that time, although of course he didn't know it at the time, during that 6 years, he was within about 2 yards of the steps that led to the burial chamber that he was seeking on two different occasions before he actually came across it. Two different times across this 6 years, he was right there. It was right on the cusp. When he made his way into the tomb, when he finally located it, he initially didn't see anything till his eyes kind of adjusted to the dim light and as he was bringing in a flashlight or whatever, candle, whatever he had. When he finally saw it was in front of him, he was so overwhelmed he couldn't even speak for some moments. Because right before him were wooden animals, statues, chests, chariots, carved cobras, vases, daggers, jewels, a throne, and a hand-carved coffin of a teenage king. And I'm sure most of you have seen pictures of it. Because Howard Carter had discovered the tomb of King Tut. That was the most exciting archaeological find of the modern era. And it was a treasure beyond imagining. It was unbelievable treasure, both historically and monetarily. And he found it because of his perseverance. So how much greater, right? How much greater are the gifts that God gives than anything of this world, than any archaeological find, than any amount of money, than any amount of pleasure or anything? How much greater are the gifts that God gives? Now, this discovery was exciting. There's no doubt. It was huge, exciting, news all over the place. But you know what? That discovery, as exciting as it was, couldn't bring Harold Carter lasting peace. Right? It could be exciting for a time, but it couldn't bring lasting peace. And none of that treasure that King Tut owned, right? None of it helped him when he got to time to pass into eternity. But the treasures that Jesus gives us are eternally satisfying. And it's persistent prayer that prepares us to receive those treasures. Because people say, why does God make us be persistent? Why don't we just ask and he gives it? It's good. He wants to give it to us. Well, because that's what prepares us, our dependence. It changes us as we pray. And he prepares us for what he's going to give us. So not only do we have this model of perseverance in prayer, we also see here a motivation for persistence in prayer. A motivation for persistence in prayer. Now, the sheer value of a reward, right? The sheer value of if something is valuable enough, that's significant motivation to pursue it. But even more so if we know that we'll receive it, right? It's one thing to say, I think there's a buried treasure somewhere in the midst of, Arizona, and to know it's there is exciting, and maybe we'll go looking for a while if we can narrow it down and look for a spot to look. Maybe someone would look. A lottery ticket, right? The chances of winning the lottery is a better chance of getting struck by lightning twice than winning the lottery in many cases, right? But people say, well, it's a big enough, and it's funny too, because people, you'll see this, right? People will say, it's 267 million now. I got to get a ticket. Like 67 million it was last week wasn't enough, right? Now I got to get it. But we get the ticket and we say, the chances are slim, but it's a huge prize. So, maybe I'll spend a dollar on it. But now, what if you knew that this was the winning ticket? Well, that's that much more exciting. Now you're definitely putting the dollar down, right? Or the $2 or whatever it is. And that's the issue here. It's not just that the reward is great. It's that we are guaranteed to receive it. We're guaranteed to receive it. We're given great assurance in the verses we already talked about. We're told that if we ask, we receive. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock, the door will be opened. Again, that's tremendous encouragement and motivation right there. Great assurance. And the only condition that we see here for us to receive this spiritual treasure is perseverance. If we continue to ask for spiritual growth and intimacy with God, we will receive it, according to what Jesus says here. But Jesus gives us even greater measure of assurance in these next few verses. An even greater motivation to persevere in prayer here in verses 9 and 10. Well, 9 through 11. He says in verses 9 and 10, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Now, much like the log in the eye that we looked at in verses 3 through 5 a couple weeks ago, this illustration is meant to be a little ridiculous. Right, it's meant to be kind of silly. I mean, Jesus' disciples would have been familiar. There's these flat stones that would be found on the shore in Galilee, and they looked very similar to the round, flat cakes of bread that was kind of their normal staple in their meals. But if their sons were going to come to them, if one of their sons was going to come to them when he's hungry, would any father even consider giving them one of those stones in place of actual bread? That would be unthinkable. Would any father give a deadly snake to their child who was expecting a delicious fish? No father worthy of the name would even consider something so cruel, right? So Jesus presents an argument that says if something is true of the lesser, then even more it must be true of the greater. And he uses that argument in verse 11. He says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, human fathers are tainted by sin. Every one of us. Every human father is tainted by sin. And if they, being tainted by sin, if they will give good things to their children, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who is perfect and righteous and holy, give us what is good for us? Isaiah makes a similar comparison in chapter 49, verse 15. It says, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. So a good earthly father is never going to give his son a stone instead of bread. And a good earthly mother is never going to neglect to feed her child. But even the best of earthly parents, even the best of earthly parents will make mistakes. Will fail. We may think even that we're doing the best thing for our kids and we may be wrong, but God never makes mistakes. God never forgets. He always does what is right and good. Always. He gives good gifts and he gives them in greater measure than we could ever imagine. In fact, that parallel passage to this in Luke 11 gives more insight into the good gifts that God gives. It says there, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? A little bit different wording there. Instead of the good gifts, it says the Holy Spirit. And there's no contradiction between those two. Because it's the Holy Spirit who gives us what is good. He's the one who transforms us into the likeness of Christ from the inside out. He's the one who resides within us and as believers knows what we need far more than we do. Paul writes in Romans 8 that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the result of the Spirit's intercession in our lives is that we get more good gifts than we could even ask for or think according to the power that is at work within us. We can be sure that God will give us anything and everything that is spiritually good for us if we're persistent in asking Him for it. Our persistence reveals the depth of our desire, right? Isn't that true? Our persistence reveals the depth of our desire. Now, I'm sure that most, if not all of you, have experienced this, right? How many of you know someone who, maybe it's a child, whatever, you know someone that when they decide they want something, right? When they've determined in their mind, here's something I want, you cannot get them to talk about anything but that, right? A lot of times it's our child, maybe they want a new, toy or a book or something. They want something and they'll be like, I know about this new movie that's out. I really want to go see this movie. When can we go see this movie? I really want to go see this movie. Or, that the new iPad that's out. I really would love to get a new iPad. Maybe I can get the new iPad. What do you think about the new iPad? Right? This is the way oftentimes. And, it's not just with kids, right? It's not just kids. It can be a child looking to get, the new electronic gadget or something, but also it could be a person going through kind of the midlife crisis, and it's like, all right, now is the time for this new sports car I've been wanting my whole life, and that's all you hear about is this car they're going to get or that they just got. Or it could be a new or a soon-to-be bride who just picked out the absolute perfect wedding dress, and that's all you're going to hear about. Their persistence, their perseverance reveals how deeply they desire this thing. That's why we need to be perseverant. We need to be persistent in our prayers. Now, if we can have that level of excitement and intentionality about stuff, whatever that stuff may be, shouldn't we be even more excited and intentional toward the good gifts that only God can give? Shouldn't we be motivated to persevere in prayer until we receive what we're asking for? Until we see the character of the kingdom just bursting and bubbling up out of us. And these gifts begin with the gift of eternal life, because eternal life is the greatest gift that God can give. It's really the gift of himself is what eternal life is. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you're here this morning and you haven't yet received that gift of eternal life, you can be sure that God will give it to you if you ask Him. He will give it to you if you ask Him. He promises. Acknowledge your sin. Ask Him to forgive you, trusting that Jesus' death on the cross paid your debt in full. Jesus on the cross, as He was hanging on the cross, He said, "It is finished." Finished. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So when you come to Christ, He makes you new. You can be washed and made clean. So if you're here and you have not yet received that gift, that's what you ask for. Ask for it today, because He promises He'll give it. Now, if you're here and you are a believer, but as you consider the character that we see on display in the Sermon on the Mount, you say, well, that character of the kingdom is unfortunately in short supply in my life. Then you need to keep on praying. You need to keep on asking. You need to keep on seeking. You need to keep on knocking. If you have a problem with lying, ask, seek, and knock, and God will help you to begin to be a truth teller. If you struggle with anger, cry out to God and continue to ask, seek, and knock, and God will begin to develop self-control in you. If you tend to give in to gossip, that as you continue asking and seeking and knocking, God will enable you to become an encourager. Selfishness can give way to servanthood. Bitterness can turn to forgiveness. Just imagine with me for a moment what would happen if we all devoted ourselves to passionate and persistent prayer for kingdom character to be evident in our lives. I think the church would probably explode in a good way because of all the people being completely kingdom-minded. We wouldn't be dealing with conflicts and petty issues between one another, but we would all be seeking, as it says in Romans 12:10, which is our family's kind of life verse, to outdo one another in showing honor. So we have to ask ourselves this. We have to ask ourselves the serious question, do we want the character of the kingdom in our lives? Do we want the fullness of the Spirit to be working in and through us? If so, then we need to persevere in prayer. We need to keep asking and seeking and knocking. We need to plead with God continually over and over again to conform us more and more into the image of Christ. So are you doing that? Is that evident in your life? Is that a priority when you sit down to pray? Do you have your list that is, and again, I don't want to take you to take this the wrong way. We are to pray for one another's infirmities. We're to pray for the sick. We're to pray for those who are going through struggles. We are to pray for those things. But we are also to be asking and seeking and knocking and putting a priority on growth in our lives, that we show the love of Christ, that we show the character of Christ in everything that we do. So are you making that a priority in your prayer? Or is your prayer list just people who are struggling with physical ailments and things? And you know, you also have to ask the question, not only is that type of prayer a priority in your life, but is prayer a priority in your life at all? Because for many, it is not. When we pray like this, when we pray in this way, we can be confident God's going to answer. Again, it's a promise. If we ask, we receive. If we seek, we find. If we knock, the door will be opened. If, as we continually, persistently pray in that way, God's going to give us anything that we ask that is spiritually good for us. He'll give that if we diligently ask. So the truth is, if that's what God's saying, right, if He's saying you need to continue asking, you need to continue seeking, you need to continue knocking, and if you do that, I will do it. If you ask, I will give it. You will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open. I promise that. So if that's true, if that promise is true, and we are not growing, it's not God who's not coming through. Right? If we're not growing, if that's true and we're not growing, then we have to look this way for the fault. Right? James says, you do not have because you do not ask. We need to ask. We need to ask. We need to ask for our own growth and sanctification, and we need to ask for others to come to Christ and also to grow. You've heard me mention George Mueller a number of times from the pulpit. George Mueller is kind of a bit of a hero of mine. He had an absolutely amazing faith and prayer life. If you read any like his biography, it's unbelievable. The things that God did through him, the man was a real man of faith, a real man of God, did some incredible things that God did through him. But one day George Mueller decided, he picked out five friends that were not Christians, and he determined, I am going to pray for these five guys. This is going to be a priority for me, to pray for these guys. And after a number of months of him praying regularly, persistently, for these five friends of his, one of them came to the Lord. 10 years later, right? Not the next week, 10 years later, two others got saved. It took 25 years for the fourth guy to come to Christ, but he did. He came. And George Mueller persevered in prayer until his death for the fifth man. And he died. When George Mueller died, his friend had still not made a profession of faith in Christ. But throughout 52 years, he never gave up hoping that this friend would come to Christ. And his faith was rewarded. Mueller never got to see it this side of glory, but soon after his funeral, that last one got saved. Now that's perseverance. 52 years praying for this one man. Five of them started in 52 years persistently asking and seeking and knocking. So let's have that same attitude of perseverance that George Mueller did. This week, I would challenge you to consider, really look through like the character qualities we see in the Sermon on the Mount. Look through some of these qualities and determine some that you say, man, I lack here. I mean, I'm sure we can all find lack in every one of them, but a particular one where you lack, something that you struggle with, and then put that on your prayer list. And from that day on, from this day on, pray passionately and persistently that God would grant that character quality to you. In addition, because you know, we sometimes can be self-deceived. In addition, I would recommend and suggest and challenge you to say, God, add this to your prayer list as well. God, I know there's areas that I am completely blinded, and there's character qualities that I may lack that I don't even realize that I lack. Reveal it to me. Reveal my heart. Reveal where the issues are in my life that I am completely blind to. And as you reveal them to me, change me in those two. Change me in those two. Ask, seek, and knock, and then have confidence that the answer will come. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for just the confidence that we can have that if our desire is to honor you, if our desire is to reflect these character qualities, and we show that desire, that the evidence of that desire, it comes out in our passionately and persistently seeking your face in prayer, calling out to you, asking you, seeking for you, knocking at your door, that you would change us, that you would grow us in these areas. You promise that you'll do that. And Lord, I just thank you so much for that confidence we can have. And Lord, I pray that we would understand the importance of this, that we would understand that we need to grow and be conformed into your likeness, that you say that our sanctification is your will for us. We spend so much time seeking your will for our lives, and we know, the one thing we know that your will is for us is that we would grow to be more and more like Jesus. And I pray that that would become the cry of our heart. I pray that would be the cry of our heart, that we would seek to honor you in every aspect of life. We know in 2 Corinthians 5:9, it tells us that whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, you. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to have that as our driving desire in everything that we do, that our goal would be to please you. Lord, I pray that you would change us, that you would transform us, that you would open that door, Lord, and that we would honor you with everything that you've given us and everything that you have made us to be. And I just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook. Thanks for tuning in. As we study the powerful words Jesus spoke on the Mount of Beatitudes, we pray that his words would positively impact the way you live your life day to day. It can be difficult to always be kind and to live according to God's word, but Jesus walks with you. He guides you. He will be the strength you need when those hard-to-be days come. If you're currently wrestling in your walk with Jesus or have a specific prayer request, we'd love to be a light for you. Feel free to reach out by calling us at 631-727-4112, and we'd be more than happy to pray for you. Again, that number is 631-727-4112. If you missed any part of today's teaching, or if you'd like to hear others from Pastor Dave, just visit cbcriverhead.org and click on the Sermons tab. Road to Calvary is a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Riverhead, New York. We're so thankful you've joined us today. If what you heard today was encouraging to you, we'd also like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:50 a.m. for a time of worship and Bible study. For directions and other information about Calvary Baptist Church, just visit our website. Again, that website was cbcriverhead.org. Come just as you are. We'd love to see you there. Well, our time with you is coming to an end, but we hope you'll join us again next time as we continue in this series with Pastor Dave, right here on Road to Calvary.